Scripture reading this morning you can find in the Old Testament, the book of Numbers, chapter 11. And we'll read the entire chapter. Let us hear the word of the Lord to us this morning. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched, and he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There's nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. And the manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof as the color of bdellium. And the people went about and gathered it, and ground it in mills, or beat it in a mortar, and baked it in pans, and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. And Moses said unto the Lord, Wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them, that thou shouldest say unto me, Carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father beareth the sucking child, unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? Whence should I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, Give us flesh that we may eat. I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. And the Lord said unto Moses, Gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. And say thou unto the people, Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh. For ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, Who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and ye shall eat. Ye shall not eat one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days, but even a whole month, until it come out at your nostrils, and it be loathsome unto you, because that ye have despised the Lord which is among you, and have wept before him, saying, Why came we forth out of Egypt? And Moses said, The people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen, and thou hast said, I will give them flesh, that they may eat a whole month. Shall the flocks and the herds be slain for them to suffice them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice them? And the Lord said unto Moses, Is the Lord's hand waxed short? Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. And Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord. and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people, and set them round about the tabernacle. The Lord came down in a cloud and spake unto him, and took of the Spirit that was upon him, and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. But there remained two of the men in the camp. The name of the one was Eldad, and the name of the other Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them, and they were of them that were written, but went not out unto the tabernacle. And they prophesied in the camp. And there ran a young man and told Moses, and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, My lord Moses, forbid them. Moses said unto him, Enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them. And Moses got him into the camp, he and the elders of Israel. And there went forth a wind from the Lord, and brought quails from the sea, and let them fall by the camp, as it were a day's journey on this side, and as it were a day's journey on the other side, round about the camp, and as it were 2 cubits high upon the face of the earth. And the people stood up all that day, and all that night, and all the next day, and they gathered the quails. He that gathered least gathered 10 homers, and they spread them all abroad for themselves round about the camp. And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people. The Lord smote the people with a very great plague. And he called the name of that place Kibroth Hattaavah, because there they buried the people that lusted. And the people journeyed from Kibroth Hattaavah unto Hazeroth, and abode at Hazeroth. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. The context for this morning's message is Lord's Day 50, question and answer 86, sorry, 125, which you can find on page 86. And the question there asks, what is the fourth petition? And the answer, give us this day our daily bread. That is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the only fountain of all good, and that neither our care nor industry, nor even thy gifts, can profit us without thy blessing. And therefore, that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in thee. And as we study this, we want to turn this morning to a biblical example from the Old Testament, from Numbers 11. And as we look to the Old Testament for an example, there's a danger often in doing this, because we look to the Old Testament for examples and we may think that the lesson is imitation. But we often miss the point then of why the Lord included them as examples. Paul tells the Corinthians all these things happened to the Israelites for our example, but they were also written for our admonition. And this morning we're going to be looking to the Israelites, as it were, for an example, but it's a negative example. And as a negative example, it comes also to admonish us. You know, Israel was in bondage in Egypt for many years. They suffered many things there. After Joseph died, they fell to slavery. Their young boys had to be drowned. The forced labor was harsh. And we read in Exodus 2 that their cry went up to God because of the bondage. And God called Moses and promised him, I heard the groaning of the children of Israel, and I've remembered my covenant, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you. And you know how that went through the 10 plagues, and how the children of Israel escaped on the night of Passover. And it was a great deliverance. And the children of Israel went out and sang the song of Moses that day. The Lord is my strength and song. He is my God, and I will exalt him. That's recorded in Exodus 15. And yet, by Exodus 16, we read on the 15th day of the second month, that's 45 days later, the people are complaining of hunger to Moses. And they're complaining, already forgetting that redemption. And God promises them already in Exodus 16, he is going to send them quail that evening and bread in the morning. And this quail, as it comes to them that night, is to remind them of something. And the bread the next morning is to remind them of something. And so we read in Exodus 16, verse 6, at even, then you shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. The quail was to be a reminder to them of the deliverance that they had experienced 45 days earlier. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord. Well, we know they received that quail that night and the bread the next morning, and they would have saw and been reminded of that lesson. The God who redeemed them from Egypt would also provide for them. But the wilderness trip continued. A year passes by. They receive the leading of the Lord through that year. They see his sovereignty over them through that year. But again, they're hungry, and they begin complaining. And that brings us to Numbers 11. And our text this morning is verse 4. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? And so while we'll consider this as a negative example, we'll consider five lessons from this passage under the heading, learning to pray for our physical needs. And the first lesson is the lesson of audience. And that in our text, the audience of the people's cry is not clear. It comes, as it were, as they're commiserating together. Little groups here and there, family meetings. Who's going to give us flesh to eat? And the negative example here is that they forgot that they had an audience. They should not have forgotten. They should have remembered the Lord who heard them last time, last year, when they were hungry and gave them quail then. He hears them again this time. But they forgot. When the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it. And the people are complaining to each other, and they don't take their concerns, their cares to the Lord, but they stand in their tents. Verse 10, then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly, and Moses also was displeased. They stayed where they were, in their tents. They are complaining, as it were, in their doorways. Forgetting that the God who's leading them, yes, by cloud during the day and by fire at night, he hears them when they're standing in their doorways. Even though they're not addressing him, he hears them. Children, you know that if we want to address somebody, we should go up to them and speak their name. Or maybe you think of it in terms of phoning or texting somebody, and you have to pull up their contact information before you can actually address them. But you see, here with God, it's different. God does not need to be addressed in order to hear. He likes to be addressed. He commands us to address him, even in praying. Our Father, which art in heaven. But you see, he hears everything, even when he's not addressed. The things that are whispered in secret, even in our doorways, in our own rooms, in our little groups. He hears it all. Even when we think no one else is hearing us. And how is this a lesson for prayer? Well, as we have needs, we need to come to the right audience with our needs. We need to remember God. And yes, even bring our physical needs before Him. Someone may wonder, should we ever share our needs or frustrations with others? And there is a time and a proper place for asking for help with our physical needs. But you see, we go to others for help. We don't go to others for support for our complaining. And we shouldn't go to others before we go to God and ask Him for help. Because then maybe we realize that the others that come across our path is God's answer for the help we've asked Him for. Then even the work of the deacons is to help with physical needs. And it's proper. But through this, even through our own needs, we need to remember that our audience is the Holy God, the Almighty Lord, who, yes, delivered His people from sin, delivered them from Egypt, and is still leading them to this very moment. And so we don't come before Him to complain about what we do not have, but we come before Him in prayer and dependence to pray, to ask, to trust. And that's why Jesus taught His disciples to pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven, give us this day our daily bread." But there's one more application here, and that comes from who's speaking in the text. It's the children of Israel. You see, as a community, they had been delivered. As a community, they had been led. As a community, they'd been fed. And now, as a community, they were complaining. And God hears, as it were, the tenor of the whole community. But the Lord's Prayer is also communal in what it teaches. As it teaches us to pray, it's, "Give us this day our daily bread." And even as we pray for our physical needs, it's not just that we're praying to the Lord to give just me my physical needs. No, we're praying, as it were, that our community would be given what it needs every day. We need to think of it more as a petition, even for our church family. It's a reminder also that as a community, we have an audience. So often we might even think that, yes, God hears me and He hears me. But realize He hears the tenor of our community as well. He hears us as a church family. He hears our discussions together. He sees and hears what we care about and want. And that brings us to the second lesson, the lesson of priorities. Because the first time the people complained in Exodus 16, it was because they were hungry. God gave them manna. And it's clear from this chapter that they were still receiving the manna. It was coming down with the dew every morning. And so you see the complaint this time is not because they're hungry. The complaint this time is because they don't like the food that they're receiving. And so their question goes up in our text, "Who shall give us flesh to eat? Who will give us meat?" We remember the fish, the cucumbers, the melons, the garlic. And then hear their disdain in verse 6. "Now our soul is dried away." It's an idiom for we've lost our appetite. There's nothing at all besides this manna. It's this. Derogatory almost. You can almost see them, as it were, pulling up their nose. This again, we always have this. Picky. The negative example here is wrong priorities. We're told even how this comes to be. You read in verse 4 how all the people were influenced by those around them. The mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, yielded. They yielded to their cravings. And they started the complaining, and the children of Israel wept again. Who's going to give us meat like we had? And we want what they want. And it's really a cry for things they couldn't have. It's a selfish cry. Who will give us meat? Who will give us flesh to eat? You realize it's not just that they wanted meat. They left Egypt with lots of meat. They left with flocks and herds. They left with very much cattle, Exodus 12 says. They could have slaughtered something. But you see, they're protective of what they already have. Because cattle then are like bank accounts today. A resource to be treasured and protected. And they don't want to use what they have. They want to be given something, something that they can't have, something like a melon and leek. The lesson for prayer ought to be very clear to us. We need to realize what we have, what we've been given, and be thankful for it. There's moments in our lives' journeys where metaphorically, cucumbers and melons are not necessarily available. But we have to be careful then that we don't complain about the basics that we have. And even when we have enough, we should not beg, complain, cry for luxury. Because the prayer that Jesus teaches again is, give us this day our daily bread. And the prayer in our hearts really must remain, be pleased, Lord, to provide us with everything necessary for our bodies. Because you see, that's what's meant with bread as we pray this petition, the necessities of food and shelter and safety. Give us the basics, Lord, so that we might live. It's like Agur, his prayer in Proverbs 30. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. We're encouraged to pray for our daily needs so that we can serve God and not take his name in vain. What's that mean for our priorities today? Well, today we have so many options. It's almost mind-boggling. You know, last year, there's 265 models of cars to drive. Never mind all the variations within each model. According to Meijer, they carry 367 options for salad dressing. And those options allow us to choose what we like, and that's good, and we can make use of those options. But how often don't those options lead to our complaining, our vanity? And I think we all struggle here. Whether it's in relation to cars or salad dressings or clothes or computers or books, we have so much available that when exactly what we're looking for isn't available, we start complaining. Our momentary preference is not fulfilled, and we grumble. And you see, that's not any different than the children of Israel in Numbers 11. When we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we're not asking for the option that we like the best. We're praying for food that's convenient for us, that which is necessary to live. As it were, we are praying for proper priorities. Praying that our actions would be without covetous, that we'd be content with what we have. As Hebrews 13 says, because you know that he will not leave you nor forsake you. And that promise brings us to the third lesson, the lesson of source. Because the negative example in the Israelites is that as they were talking in their doorways, they were complaining and they were forgetting the source of everything they received. Verse 4, who shall give us flesh to eat? And in a sense, they laid it at Moses. Or laid it before Moses. And even if they didn't come in our text to confront him specifically, they made him feel, properly or improperly, this pressure, this feeling that he had to provide for their every need, their every wish, their every desired option. So Moses complains to the Lord. Verse 13, they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. The people should have known that Moses couldn't ultimately provide that. In another sense, they're looking back at Egypt. Looking back at Egypt, Egypt could give them this meat. Egypt could give them this fish. We remember Egypt, and Egypt gave it to us freely. And now, you know, they're longing for a land that they thought could give them meat and fish, leeks. They think the land can do it. The land gives it. Hosea later describes that same action as playing the harlot, living shamefully, breaking covenant. Why? Because they don't see the source of what they have right now. And they admit this even, because they say, verse 6, our soul is dried away. They've lost their appetites, their energies. They're depressed with what they've received. They want more. And they're not even asking proper place or the proper way. And the Lord comes to Moses and he tells him what to say. Verse 18, say thou unto the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh. I, the Lord, will give you flesh, and you shall eat. It will happen. And Moses comes up and he doubts the Lord and wonders, there's 600,000 men here. Never mind the women and children. How are we going to get enough meat for all these people? We'll have to kill our flocks and herds. We'll have to gather the fish from the sea. God reminds Moses of his power. Power that Moses should have remembered. Power that the people should have remembered. Is the Lord's hand waxed short? Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. And what did Moses see? He heard the people complaining. He heard, as it were, God saying, I will take care of this. He hears his own doubts, and he sees the wind, as it were, blowing in these quail again. And here's a camp of a million people. And all these birds come fluttering in, as it were, 3 feet off the ground so that the people can hit them down, grab them. And as far as you can see, The birds are just coming in. You walk 15 miles that way, there's still birds coming in. 15 miles that way, there's still birds coming in. All these birds. More and more. And the people start knocking them down, collecting them, killing them, laying them out to dry. There's so many birds that all the families collect them. And some people are staying up 24 hours just to collect as many birds as possible, collect as much dried meat for our journey as possible. Gather, work hard. The abundance is incredible. The Lord has provided. But notice, it's the Lord who sent the wind. It's the Lord who brought those quail in. The lesson for us as we pray for our physical needs today is that we acknowledge the Lord to be the only fountain of all good. Like Psalm 145 says, "The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thy hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing." Do you realize the source of absolutely everything that you have? We might think that today's world of greenhouse growing and rapid transportation and international shipping and refrigeration is what keeps our food coming. But I'm sure there's more of us who walked through Meijer a week or so ago and saw the empty shelves. The one I was in, it was almost a whole wall, absolutely empty, because the lettuce was bad. You see, even the availability of lettuce is something that God provides. And children, it's not then just your mom who puts the food on the table, or it's not your parents who go to work so they can buy food and bring it home. Because the source of what we have isn't the grocery store. The source of what we have isn't our bank accounts or our jobs even, or the economy. The source is the Lord who provides. And so even as we pray for our physical daily needs, we pray to the Lord for them. And then the fourth lesson is the lesson of reliance. Because so often we think, oh, I have a lot right now. I'm set for a little while. I have a guaranteed income. I presume everything's going to be okay. And we think it's going to continue. We might even dream that it improves. We forget the lesson of reliance. Now, one response is, well, we have to work hard. We can't be lazy. We have to be diligent. But you see, working hard does not equate to being blessed or prosperous or living properly. Because think of that day in the camp of the Israelites. The people worked very hard that day. They stayed up the whole night. Collect these quail while we can. We have opportunity. Let's make hay when the sun shines. Bushel after bushel of meat. Our complaints been answered. The problem's fixed. We have our desire, our dream, our request. And we can gather so much. This is going to do for a long time. Yes. They can sink their teeth into a delicious piece of meat. Finally. But, verse 33, while the flesh was yet between their teeth, literally they hadn't even taken the bite yet, before it was chewed, the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. God gave the people the meat they asked for. But it wasn't a blessing to them. Rather, it destroyed them. And just having does not mean the prayer is answered. God's blessing is still crucial. God says in Leviticus 26, you can have a lot of bread and never be satisfied. Or you can have very little and be very satisfied. And that's the lesson for our prayers today. Because even when we think we have, we still need God's blessing or it will not benefit us. You might know even what your meals this week are going to be. And think that diminishes the meaning of give us this day our daily bread. But it doesn't, because you still daily need His blessings for that bread. And as we pray, we realize, as the Catechism says, that neither our care nor our industry, that's our working hard, nor even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing. Even God's gifts cannot profit us without His blessing. And so as we receive so much, as we have so much, we need to be careful about what we're asking for. Because if it's just for something more, if it's just that this would make us happier or stronger or better, this example shows that God might give it to us and use it against us because we've not prayed in faith for His blessing. We've prayed selfishly for our dreams. We need God's blessing. His blessing on our planning. His blessing on our provisions, His blessing on our effort, even His blessing on the gifts He's already given to us. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It's not wrong to build houses. It's not wrong to watch your city. But unless the Lord blesses you in that, it's vain. When we realize that, our praying ought to change. Because it's not our little extra effort. It's not our hard work. It's not our complaining more strongly that's going to bring God's blessing. That's why hoarding displays such a lack of reliance. It's condemned by God. In Ezekiel, God condemns cities for pride and fullness of bread and abundance of idleness and not sharing. And God says to those cities, that's why I took what you had away. And that pride and fullness of bread and not sharing is also a description of people sometimes. God gave it, but God can take it away. And so what are we relying on as we go about our day to day? As we think of our physical needs, are we relying on our own effort? Are we relying on our hoarding? Or are we relying on God's blessing? Whether or not we realize it, we are very rich people. That richness often results in a minimization of faith. One example. You know, many of our grandparents, maybe great-grandparents or great-great-grandparents, immigrated to this country with very, very little. Maybe just $100 or a few hundred dollars. That would be worth $1,000 maybe today. Would you move your family halfway around the world if all you had was $1,000? think today with our prosperity we'd say that's irrational. But they did it by faith often. Faith in the Lord who would provide, faith in the Lord who had led them to that point and would continue to provide for their daily needs. And Paul's charge to Timothy sounds so loudly here. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. And let's bring it back down to the daily bread. Do you realize, even as we have so much, we still need the Lord's blessing? Because what if the Lord did not bless more things? You know, then it wouldn't just be the lettuce that's missing in the grocery store. It'd be the other fruits and vegetables, the grains. What would happen if that was not just a week, but maybe a month or a year? What if the Lord would stop blessing those things? Or maybe we'd still have it all. Maybe he'd allow us to bring it into our houses. But what if he wouldn't bless our digestive systems enough to get any benefit from all this food? We rely on him for all these things. The warning, there's actually a warning here. Haggai says it to the people of Israel, you've sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but have not enough. Ye drink, but are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Consider your ways. Because we're not given our daily bread for our selfish reasons. We're not given our daily bread so that we can be full and content and forget the Lord. We're given our daily bread so that we can live for Him, to glorify Him, to honor Him, our Creator, our Redeemer, our Sustainer. We just sung of the conscious dependence of God. And that brings us to the final lesson, the lesson of faith. Because you imagine being there that day. There's miles and miles of meat. There's a million people getting the meat they so craved. And yet we read that those who yielded to their cravings and complained that their cravings might be filled were buried because of that plague that the Lord sent. Their misplaced hope, their misplaced desires brought them to an early grave. What a serious moment that would have been. A moment to realize that though they had just gathered so much, they had just lost souls. People far more precious than a few bushels of quail. It's also a serious moment because they would have remembered the last time the Lord gave us quail. And those quail were to remind us of His redemption from Egypt. The God who redeemed us from Egypt could also feed us. He could bless us. But we forgot. And we grumbled. And we complained. And it's because of our faithlessness that our gift has become our punishment. These quail this time weren't gifts. They were a punishment. And the lesson of faith for us today is that we would withdraw all of our trust from all creatures and place it alone in the Lord. Even as you pray, give us this day our daily bread. That you would learn by faith to withdraw all trust from all people, all creatures, and place it alone in the Lord. Yes, even for your daily physical needs. And then you see, prayerlessness about our daily regular needs is unbelief. It's faithlessness again. Because the answer then to your question, who will give us meat? Who's going to give me meat? Is, I will. I'll go out tomorrow morning and I'll continue working and I'll get a paycheck on Friday and I'll be able to go to the store and I'll give my family meat. But no, as we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we're withdrawing all trust for our needs from all creatures and placing it on the Lord. Our Father, who art in heaven, looking, yes, to the God of redemption, to the Creator of heaven and earth, but the one who says, I am a Father who will give good things to those who ask. Then we can pray for our physical needs. Praying for our physical needs in faith means that we follow God, yes, through the wilderness of life. But it's not just words then. It's action. It's trust. Believing that God knows what our physical needs are. He knows He's been giving us manna every day. He knows we've received enough manna every day. But you see, He's not just promised manna. He's promised something greater that is still coming. That doesn't mean today we're discouraged from planning, because there are many passages that commend careful, thoughtful preparation. But you see, as we plan, as we prepare, we do so depending on God, praying that He would bless us in this. The psalmist says in Psalm 37, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Trust in the Lord, thou shalt be fed. We considered Israel this morning because they failed to do so. But you see, now their negative example ought to convict us, admonish us of our own faithlessness. As Paul said, let us learn from their example. But what does Paul say next? He says, like the prophets, consider yourselves, take heed to yourselves. Let him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. That is said by Paul in relation to this example from the Israelites. The temptation to go day by day without depending on the Lord is great. It's a common temptation. It will tempt you too. But if you say, it's the Lord who's delivered me from Egypt, from sin and misery, and if you can confess that, why do you not depend on Him today for your daily needs? Why do you ask or maybe think, who's going to give me meat? And yes, here's a greater question. Why do you long for the fish of Egypt when He's promised you a whole land flowing with milk and honey? And yes, it's still in the future. And yes, as we heard a few weeks ago, it's across the border. But you see, we're called to live today by faith in the Redeemer, and the Father in heaven. And isn't it because we do not live with the faith that we should that we fall to this temptation? If you believe He's redeemed you from destruction, will He not take care of you now? If He said, I will deliver you, will He neglect you now? And some of us here who say, yes, He's been so good to me in the past, but we don't dare to say He's being good to me today. He is being good to you today. Are we going to live by faith? Or are we going to live with faithlessness? This example points us to the positive example that Christ taught His disciples. Because the prayer that the Lord taught is the Lord Himself teaching this to His disciples. But He continues in Matthew 6 with, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Because your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But you see, Christ didn't just teach His disciples how to pray. He did not just admonish them that their Father in heaven knows this. He demonstrated this to them. He trusted His Father to provide His physical needs. He had nowhere to lay His head yet. He had homes and rooms He could go into and use. He didn't maintain large pantries. But He still had enough in the end to celebrate the Last Supper with His disciples. He had few material goods, and yet He had one valuable coat until the day it was gambled for. He lived trusting in the provision of His Father. And you and I are called today, this week, this year, the rest of our lives, to live with that same faith, the dependence on our Father who is in heaven. And then the warning this morning is not a warning against not asking for quail. The biggest lesson is living by faith. Because if you come to God properly and pray this prayer properly, it needs to be in faith. This is one of the first things we learn as children is to pray for our food and drink. But you see, it's not just a superficial prayer. It ought to be a prayer that points us to the Lord and requires us to live by faith. You can't ask the Father in heaven for anything if you have no faith. How can you ask God for something temporal if you're still living against Him? You cannot separate asking for daily bread from asking for God's will to be done. You cannot separate asking for your daily bread from asking for forgiveness. And so this petition points us to the need again that we have for the Savior, because we fail to pray this as we should. We fail to live with the faith and dependence that we should. But Christ was called out of Egypt. He survived the temptations of the wilderness. And He lived perfectly with dependence. Through Him, we too can live. And you see, through Him, we too can pray even for our daily needs. And then, as the interceder. His Father will give good to all that ask Him. Amen. Lord, please forgive us of our own faithlessness. Forgive us for thinking that we deserve or should have. Forgive us for seeing, for not seeing all the benefits that are bestowed on us every day. May today be a day of dependence, a day of blessing. Lord, may thy word increase. And may all glory and honor and power be unto thee forever and ever. Amen.